Amen. So good to see you guys. Some new faces. Every time I come and visit this family of mine here in Berwick, there's always new people to meet. So it's lovely to meet you. If you, excuse me, I'm going to be fiddling around with this thing. So I've got these freakishly tiny ears. So these kind of things aren't quite designed for my ears, I think. So I'm from sunny Essex, and I've come to rainy. I was in Durham yesterday. It was my friend's 50th. And her birthday was actually in February, and she thought, I'm going to delay my party for the summer. July, you think she'd be fine, right? I think she picked the wettest day in July ever, bless her. So it was quite a wet birthday party. So I felt really sorry for her, but we made the effort. We drove 7 hours from Essex to get here, and my husband now is driving back to Essex. So I'm married to a wonderful man called Andy. We have 3 children. We have Sam, who is 14. We have Nina, who is 15, doing her GCSEs next year. So please pray for me. Because she had her mock mocks. We never had that when I was their age. But they do a mock mock before they do their mocks. And, oh my goodness, how stressed she was. I'm thinking, oh Lord, if this is the mock mocks, what are we going to do next year? So please pray for my daughter. She's amazing, but she works very, very hard. And then we have a third daughter who's not with us, who's with the Lord, and her name is Mia. And she would be, how old would she be? She would be, what year are we in? She'd be 13. No, yeah, 13. But she's with the Lord, because you know what? This is not the end. And sometimes we can live, we can just try to live for this world, but actually, do you know what? There's a better world, the kingdom's eternity that we've got, that we should really focus on. We should do what we can here. So then when we go to heaven, so I'm going camping with my kids. I'm taking the youth camping, and I'm expecting some rewards in heaven, because this Indian doesn't do camping, all right? But I'm doing it for my kids. And I'm thinking, Lord, my rewards in heaven better be lots for doing that, because I don't do camping. So whatever you do here, make it count. Don't just try to find the riches for this world for now. Store up treasures in heaven, okay? Store up treasures in heaven. You know, love people, amazing. Reach out to the lost. Do the things the Lord has called you to do. So this morning I was praying for you. I woke up at 4 in the morning, and I just went into, I was staying in Durham at a family's house, went into their office, and I was saying, Lord, is there a word that you want me to share, a corporate word for Waypoint? And I saw this picture of waves, you know, on the beach and the sea and the waves. And my kids, when they were, you know, they love catching the waves, yeah? Do you know what I mean? Everyone can see, visualize it. And I felt the Lord say that he wants us to be like those kids. Sometimes we get too serious. We lose the joy and the excitement. But to enjoy the waves, now I've only done this a few times, to enjoy the wave, you've got to jump. You can't just stand there and just think, oh yeah, it'll be all right. But when you jump when the waves come up and you jump into it, there is so much fun. And I felt the Lord is saying, you've got to do something. You can't just stand there and think, oh, nice waves, you know. But when you jump, and there was times when with my kids, we'd be holding each other's hands, and we'd be jumping on the waves, and we're laughing our heads off. There is so much joy, and I feel that's you as a body. You're not called to be isolated and on your own, okay? We're a body for a reason. Jesus never hung out just on his own. He had his 3, and then he had his 12. I'm going off track here, but I feel there's something. You can either be on your own, and that's not what God really wants. He wants you to join with a family. You're a family, guys. You're a family. Let's hold each other's hands. There's going to be times when you'll get on each other's nerves. Do you know what I mean? But the Bible says make allowances for one another, okay? We just got to just forgive very quickly. Let's be slow to anger, and let's just be quick to forgive, yeah? And let's just stand together and enjoy the waves. And, you know, let's just get taken up with the Lord, because he's just got fun for us. You know, I love the fact that he says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. God wants us to be joy. In his presence, it says, there is fullness of joy, okay? So we should be the happiest people out there. And if you're not, then I ask you to go and get on your knees and say, Lord, what is it? What's taken my joy? Because you've given me joy, you know? for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. Life is hard, but he knew that actually beyond the cross, there's going to be eternity. Beyond the cross, there's going to be you beautiful people coming to know the Father, coming back to the Father. So let's just find our joy. And wherever we lost it, go back to the Lord and say, God, help me to find my joy. So today I want to talk on healing. So when Jenny asked, straight away I was praying, and I thought the Lord say talk on healing. And I know healing can be a difficult subject. And I was just with this people, everything's going everywhere. I was with this couple, I hadn't met them before, I was invited to stay at their house. And we had a really interesting conversation about healing. So this lady's mum has got several stuff wrong with her. And she goes, she's a godly lady. And, you know, and my mum's got all this stuff. And maybe, and this is what she said, maybe just God isn't, you know, allowing it. And maybe God's not wanting to heal her. And I just think sometimes we can make theology. But that doesn't sound like a good God, does it? I'm letting you suffer. I'm teaching you a lesson. That's not the God that we serve, okay? And so I just said to her, you know, if that was the kind of God that was in the Bible, then I don't know, doesn't sound like a very kind God, not a very loving God. And I said that I do believe that, you know, sometimes it's going to be in eternity when the healing happens. But I'm going to stand here and say, I don't know why everyone doesn't get healed, okay? But what I want to say to you is, run for you, or go, reach out, like the woman with the bleeding, reach out the hem. Don't give up asking. Don't give up praying. Don't get weary in asking, okay? I'm just going completely off tangent, but I was in 2021, I woke up one morning and I couldn't move. And I needed a toilet, as you do in the morning. So I crawled to the bathroom. Went to the GP later on that day, and I discovered I had rheumatoid arthritis all over my body. Now, I was only 28, and I'm like going, what? I'm young, right? I always thought arthritis for old people, right? I'm thinking, what? I'm young. So, but I believe God could heal, because when I had colds or headaches, I would say, I'm not having it, because I was told when I first became a Christian, we need to get back to being a childlike. When I first became a Christian, this Christian lady said to me, sickness and infirmity is not from the Lord. Then as Christians, we don't have to have it. Okay? And as a new believer, I just took it as, okay, simple as that. I didn't overthink it. I didn't over-theologize it. I just thought, okay, cool. So I then, whenever a headache started to come, I'd say, I'm not having it in Jesus' name. And amazingly, it would go. If I had symptoms, you know, when you're about to get a cold or something, you're starting to feel the aches. I said, I'm not having it. And I just, without realizing, I was resisting the enemy. Because sickness and infirmity is not from the Lord. Okay? Let's just be clear about that. It is not from the Lord. It's from the pit of hell. Because in heaven, there is no sickness. There's no tears. There's no suffering. And my little girl is there, and she's not in no pain. One day, you know, but she's in no pain. She's having a full life there, okay? Fully healthy. So we just got to not kind of like think, oh, it's the Lord, okay? So I then knew God, because I believed for the little things. Sometimes we've got to stop believing for the little things. I believed God for the colds, the headaches. I experienced it. And so when it came to I became a Christian in 94. When it came to this day, I just knew God could heal me. So I was put on some steroids. They put me on these steroids for about 3 months. They said after 3 months, it will destroy your gut. And so we'd have to review what we do. The pain, the chronic pain was horrendous. And these tablets, I was very dependent on them. I had to have two tablets a day. And I would know when my next tablet was due. Like, you know, it was awful. And I know some people have gone through chronic pain a lot longer, but I've tasted what that feels like, and it's awful. And a loving father doesn't want you to go through that, okay? Let's just put that clear. A loving dad does not want you to suffer. So I every opportunity, every Sunday, I'd go and get prayer. I did any opportunity, anything breathing, pray for me. And nothing happened. And I didn't allow myself to get discouraged. I just kept believing. Sometimes we just got to keep believing. We've got to keep reaching out that hem. You know, we just don't know when, okay? And then one day I was in a meeting. It was our Connect group leaders, like a small group leader meeting. There was about six of us. Least likely people, right? The least likely people and place where I would get healed, right? But they decided to pray for me. And I got to say, I didn't feel like anything amazingly happened. I didn't feel like the heavens opened up and all this electricity went down. I didn't feel anything happened. But the next morning, I woke up and I didn't need my last tablet. Praise God. And it just completely went. But let me tell you something. The devil is a liar. And I would have, even today, I'd have twinges. And I have a choice. Do I stand on the healing I've received? Or do I give in to the fear of that chronic pain coming back? See, a lot of Christians lose their healing because what happens is they go to a meeting, they get healed, and they feel completely pain-free. They go home, the next day, a twinge happens, and they believe the pain's come back. And guess what? It does. We have to stand, do everything. It says stand. We have to stand on our healing. And even now, I have to, when a pain tries to come, or I say, no, I've been healed. And it goes. As soon as I take authority, and that's the thing that I think we've lost is our authority. God, Jesus said when he died on the cross, when he came back, he said, all authority has been given to me. Therefore. So he said, look, I've got this authority back now by dying. I did everything that needed to be done. There's nothing more that Jesus needs to do. There's nothing more that God needs to do. We got to receive what he's done on that cross. I remember my daughter was going through a time where she was feeling this dizziness. And the school would call me and, can you come and collect your daughter? This is just very recently. And then So I take her home, she's feeling this dizzy. And what's happening? She's feeling this dizziness. And then she's getting panicky about it. Is she going to faint and everything? Because she didn't know what it was. And then it happened again. And then she came home and she said, Mom, I prayed to God. I asked Jesus to help me. I asked God to help me. And he didn't. And it was a moment where her faith in God could have just been completely crushed. God's not real. Because when I prayed for him, he didn't help me, right? How many times we give up on God because he doesn't do what we want him to do, right? So I'm listening to my girl, who I absolutely love. And I know that I've got a good God, a powerful God, a loving Father. And the Lord gave me wisdom. And I said to Nina, her name's Nina. I said, Nina, on the cross, Jesus did everything. He did it all. There's nothing more he could have done, guys. Nothing more. No, I didn't say that to her. I didn't say guys to her. I said, there's nothing more, Nina. But you're going, God, please help me, please help me, please help me. But actually, it's not God you should be begging to help you. Devil! Satan, get off me. Sickness, leave me. Do you know what I mean? We're directing the prayers in the wrong direction. We're saying, God, help me. But actually, we'd say, get off me, enemy. I'm not going to have this pain. So when my childlike faith, when I first became a Christian, I'm not having it. Sickness not from the Lord, I'm not having it. Okay? We've got to assert authority. And so I told her that. I said, you know, God's done everything. You just got to stop panicking and actually step into your authority. And you know what? She has stepped into authority. The school's never called me to pick her up. And even when it tries to come, she is resisting it. And it's not got to a point where it's got to a panic and everything. So she's learned, it's how we tackle these things. Are we going to panic and go, please God, or are we going to say, no, I'm not having this? Because sickness and infirmity is not from the Lord. So who's it from? Who's it from, guys? So we need to tell them. Because Jesus said he came, what did he come to? He came to destroy the work of the evil one. That's what he came to do. And also, he now wants us to do that. So today, I want to equip you guys to be able to pray for the sick, okay? So I'm going to turn to Mark chapter 16. So if we can turn Mark 16. I've just gone all over the place already, but this is Mark 16. So when someone is, when someone's dying, their last words are very important, right? Yeah, you want to take heed of what they say. So this is just before Jesus is going to be taken up, right? So his last words are important. So let's hear some of his last words that he said to his disciples. Mark chapter 16, starting from verse 15. And I'm just going to go verse by verse. Go into all the world, he's saying. And he's saying that to you guys as well. Go into all the world. Now, you may not do what I do, go to different countries, but your world. Go to your world, your neighbors, your where you work, where your family is. Go to your world and preach the good news to everyone. It's good news we're carrying, guys. That's why we need the joy. So then we can release that good news, yeah? To everyone, not somebody, everybody. Verse 16, anyone who believes and is baptized. So it's really important when Jonathan's asking people who've not been baptized as an adult, be baptized. It's part of the salvation process. You believe and be baptized. Even if you've been sprinkled as a child, adult baptism is really important. It's that demonstration of the old going and the new resurrecting that you are that new creation. So I really encourage you, if you haven't had a water baptism as an adult, then I would really encourage you to do that. So anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. Now, I was reading this, I was thinking, it sounds awful, like, is God going to condemn people? And actually, no, I think that before I was a Christian, I was brought up as a Hindu, and I left home when I was 18. It was a very abusive, emotionally and physically, childhood. My parents didn't want me, and I wasn't loved or wanted. But when I was 18, I ran away, and I was trying to find happiness with the world. I was brought up as a Hindu. I decided I didn't believe in any religion. I didn't believe in God. Didn't want to believe. I want to have fun. I want to do what the world would say will make me happy. So I went clubbing, partying, and I made a decision. I don't believe in God. But what happened with that decision is my life got bad to worse. I met this guy who was a drug dealer. He ended up being my boyfriend. It was awful. And I was condemned. I was condemning myself, really, because when I'm choosing to be away from the Lord, I'm choosing to not believe. And that's what I was doing. I don't believe in God is what I would say. My life was condemned. It was awful. It got worse, bad to worse. But then God, with his mercy, came and met with me, and he spoke to me, and I experienced his love and healing. And he's the best person you can ever have a relationship with. God doesn't want religion. He wants a relationship. He wants you to walk with him. He wants to talk to you. He wants you to be his son and daughter, and he wants to be your dad, you know. And he did the hardest thing a parent could do, because God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That's how much he loved us. He gave up his son so that none would perish, but all would have eternal life. But we've got to believe that. Amen? He loves us. He loves us that much. So if you are here today and you've even said, I'm not sure if I believe, I want to ask you to give God that opportunity to show himself to you. Because if you do that, and if God is real, he will show himself to you, and your life will never be the same. Never be the same. It'll be the best decision that you make. Okay, verse 17. So these miraculous signs will, not possibly, could, maybe, some, will accompany those who believe. Now remember before, verse 6 says, anyone who believes and is baptized, who believed in Jesus, okay? Not just believe, oh, these miraculous, but believe in who is able to do it. It says these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. Who are the believers? Yeah. Hands up if you're a believer. Do you believe in Jesus? So some of you aren't. We'll pray for you later. These miraculous signs will follow you guys. This is a promise. This is what it's all about. You know, he's about to go. It's his last words. These miraculous signs will, with a capital W-I-L-L, will accompany those who believe. They will, not some will, not the man of the moment, you know, they will. Who's they? You. They will, it's me, you, us, all of us. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. Verse 18. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. Haven't quite done that. Wouldn't recommend it. Okay? But it says we will be able to do that. Haven't quite done that. I think you need wisdom before you do anything like that. This is a warning. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. Please don't try to do it. You know, but it says this in the word. They will, who's they? Come on, guys. I'll make sure you're awake, you see. And that's what I'm like, yeah, who's that? Who's the will? Who's they? You. So I will. So why don't we say, I will be able. Oh, let's go back a bit. Yeah? Can we go back a bit? You're going to play with me here. These miraculous signs, I want you to say, these miraculous signs will accompany me. I will cast out demons. I will speak in new languages. I will be able to handle snakes with safety. And I will be able to drink anything poisonous and won't hurt me. I will, this is the key, I'll be able to place my hands, show me your hands. These hands are anointed, they're anointed. Spirit of God, just anoint these hands. I will place these hands on the sick and they will be healed. Please believe it, guys. God is not a man that he should lie. The Son of Man that he changed his mind. Has he not spoken, will he not fulfill? Okay? He didn't say some. He didn't say just specific people, just anointed that person. He's saying, we will. You know? And after years, so I went through this journey of seeing God heal me. You know, I talked about the arthritis. I talked about the headaches and the colds. But it's funny, the more I grew up as a Christian, I went to these big meetings, this guy called Maurice Salello, I can't never say his name, and these big meetings in Earl Court with his healing ministers, or I'd read books like Catherine Coleman and amazing ministers of healing. And as I read these books and saw these people, do you know what it did for me? It disqualified me. It made me feel I'm not like them. They're the anointed, pointed man of the moment or the woman of the moment, and I'm not them. So I never took the healing beyond myself. So I was an evangelist. I'd go out and do evangelism. I would try to talk to people, but I never used the signs and wonders that was available because I didn't believe that I was good enough or anointed enough, or I disqualified myself because somehow these big stage people made us look like we were watching them. And so when in 2016, I went to Brazil, and there was a guy called Randy Clark. And I thought we were just going to do evangelism. So I went to Brazil thinking, oh, evangelism, I love evangelism. I love telling people about Jesus. Went to Brazil, and it was all about healing. Now, I was the kind of person, I was leading a church with my husband. We planted the church, I was leading a church. And so, you know the scripture in James says, anyone is sick amongst you, go to the leaders and anoint your heads with oil. Yeah? People know that scripture. I used to hate it when the sick used to come to me as a leader because I didn't believe God used me. I don't know what would go on. I don't know watching these big name people. I think it just made me feel, because I'm not them, I can't do that. How many of us done that? How many of us think it was maybe it's not me? We don't even pray for the sick because we just don't feel God will use us in that. So I would not enjoy people coming for prayer. And what I'd often do is I'll start praying for the healing. And then I'll pray for something else. I'll start prophesying over them. Start like changing. And then I go, bye. I'd never ask them how they were. I'd never check in. I would just, be relieved it's over. I'd go on for ages and something completely different. So I'm going to Brazil, this thing, and I'm thinking I'm going to do evangelism. And guess what? It's all about healing. And I'm thinking, oh no, what have I done? Lord, what have you done? Jehovah Sneaky, what am I doing here? I can't do this. And then the first meeting is that we're praying for people. And I'm just feeling overwhelmed. Sometimes we've got to get over ourselves. It's not about us. It's about Jesus doing it through us. It's him. So I heard the Holy Spirit. I'm just feeling overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. I'm like going, what am I doing here? Oh, get me out of here. I'm a Christian. Get me out of here. I'm not a celebrity. Praise the Lord. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, Raj, get over yourself. You lead a church. I'm with you. So then I started to, sometimes we've got to step into our authority. We've got to step in to the thing that Jesus already accomplished. He did it all on the cross. You know, he got the keys back. He has all authority now. And I had to just step into my authority as a believer. And I think that's the thing that's lacking. We don't know our authority. And we need to, last time I spoke, I talked about identity. If you weren't here, I'd encourage you to lead it. We need to know our identity as sons and daughters, don't we? Do you know? And the thing I talked about was how lies will rob you of your identity, but the truth will set you free. So we need to step into our authority. God is desperate. He wants to use you. He wants to use us, guys, the Motley Crue. He wants to use us. You know, if you think about the 12 and 72, he didn't use some of the 12. He didn't use some of the, you know, even Judas Iscariot he used, okay? Okay? God wants to use those who believe, okay? And so I just then saw some amazing healing. Shall I tell, can I tell you one of my highlights? There's loads of stuff. There's one guy who, so often what they encourage you is get words of knowledge. So what words of knowledge is, God is telling you in advance what he's going to do. So that meeting, that day, I had this feeling of a lump here. Don't have a lump normally here, but I had this feeling of lump. And so I kind of like thought, well, that's a word of knowledge. So we line up as a team. So we pray for more of the sick than the actual Randy Clark. His passion is to get the church active in this, rather than everyone looking to him. Actually, the team see more healing than actually Randy does. So we line up, we share the words of knowledge that God shared. So I had this word about tumor on your arm. And so I shared my word. And then it's a church of 10,000, right? And then everyone comes forward. If you want prayer, they come forward for prayer. And they join the line of who's got the word. So my line came and it was quite full. I thought, okay. There's a lot of people with tumors on their arm, right? So the first person I pray, he's got a skin condition. So I'm thinking, I haven't got faith for this. Because my husband struggles with eczema and skin. And the first thing is, I'm looking at myself. You know, I go in, you know, oh, I can't do that, I'm panicking. And once again, I've got to get over myself. So I pray for this guy. He goes down in the spirit, so I don't know whatever happened to him. I start praying for the next person, and there was this young girl. The ones I can remember is I remember this young girl, and she'd been scratching so much. There were scars on her face and just horrendous. And, you know, often how Jesus ministered with, he had compassion. But people aren't projects there, you know. They're. So I just had compassion for this young girl. And so I asked, what you do is I'm going to tell you how you pray for the sick. So I'm interviewing, I'm talking to her. And I said, I heard the Holy Spirit say, ask her if anyone else has had this skin condition, had problems with skin. I said, has anyone, through interpreter, because I speak Portuguese. And she says, yeah, her dad had leprosy. And I knew this was a generational thing. So I started to pray for her that every generation of skin, I can't remember what I prayed because it was quite a long time ago. So I just started to pray for her. And before my eyes, I saw her face going pink, pink. Like, it's like the fire of God was on her face and her face was clearing. And it was just amazing. So the next girl I prayed for, my faith is going from here to this. And we just got to keep stepping out. The more we do it, the more we're going to see. Don't give up. Keep them. There's people who are in healing ministry. They've prayed for 1,000 people before they saw the first healing. Let's not give up when the first person doesn't get healed. Just keep praying. Keep praying. If you don't pray, you're never going to see it. But if you keep praying, you're going to start seeing it. And your faith level increases. And it does. And yeah. So that was awesome. That was my highlight. Oh, yeah. I haven't finished the story. So then I'm thinking to myself, I'm praying for these people. And I'm thinking, I must have been wrong with my word of knowledge, right? Because no one's coming with this lump in their arm. So I thought, okay, sometimes you get it wrong, right? Until the very last person I prayed for. It's this tall young guy. And I've got my translator. And basically, he's got 5 tumors. But the only one you can actually see is this one here when you push the skin down. So, but they're benign. And so I am. My translator has to go. So he's got 5 tumors. And then I heard the Lord say, ask him when it happened. Okay? We have to be led by the Spirit. Okay? Sometimes there's reasons why people have got this stuff. Sometimes we just want to go straight, tell that thing to go, but actually we've got to deal with some of the roots. When you deal with the roots, the fruit drop off. Okay? So I heard the Holy Spirit ask him how long? 2 years ago. I heard the Holy Spirit say, ask him, did anything happen 2 years ago? His grandma died. So it's trauma. There are doorways, entry points where sickness comes in. Unforgiveness is huge, guys. Huge way the enemy comes in. And unforgiveness, trauma, generational stuff, there's doors that are open that allow these things in. And often we go, God, why aren't you healing? But we've got to deal with this. The underlying stuff, So my translator has to go and help someone else. So I start praying for this guy. He can't understand a word I'm saying, right? But we're not praying to him, we're praying to the Lord, right? We're praying, and I'm taking authority to this. So I start praying for this guy. I'm praying off the trauma of losing his gran and so forth. I can't remember exactly, but I'm praying off this. He starts weeping. Now, this guy can't not understand a word I'm saying, okay? But he's weeping. So I can see the Holy Spirit doing something, right? So I grab my translator. I said, could you ask him what's going on? And he says that he feels peace in his heart. Sometimes when you go for prayer, you may not get fully healed, but God may want to just do something in your heart first. Okay? Just trust the process. So I said, well, what about your tumors, right? And you know me, woman of great faith. No, he said, he looked at me like I'm crazy going, it's gone, of course. I'm like, this is what I did. I grabbed his arm and I started to press it down, trying to look for it. I couldn't believe it. It had gone. God is amazing. And I didn't believe it. I mean, it was the Lord, right? It is the Lord. And I want to say that when we minister in the gift, when we're praying for the sick, I want to encourage you. This is what we're going to pray for you guys. You're going to be equipped. That's what I want to encourage you to be doing. Is even if that person doesn't get healed, this is the key that Randy Clark shares. Even if they don't get healed, when you minister them in love, when I pray for you with love and care, it's not, oh, let me just quickly pray. It's actually, let's take time, listen to the Holy Spirit. Lord, what are you doing? What has caused this? If we minister with care and time and love, even if that person doesn't get fully healed, they'll leave better because of that time and the care that you gave them. Because there's something about love that covers. And I've seen so many people, and there's been times when God just wants to deal with the heart. And he will eventually. He may not, do you know what I mean? But there's others. Let's just go with what God's doing with at the moment. Okay? Amen? So you will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. When the Lord Jesus, verse 19, when the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven, last few words, and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand, verse 20. And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said with many miraculous signs. Okay, we need to activate. We need to step out in what God has given us. We need to utilize it. So there's a prayer model that Randy Clark teaches us, which is I'd like to teach you. See, I realized before this time with Randy Clark in Brazil, I was praying for the sick wrongly. Okay, so I would pray for someone and I would beg God to heal them. I go, please, God, they're such a lovely person. Look how lovely Jenny is. She's so kind. She does anything for everyone. Almost like she just, you know. And I'm trying to, like, beg God to heal her. As if God is holding back the healing and I'm trying to persuade him. He's not holding back the healing, guys. And Jesus never prayed that way. He never said, please, Father God, would you heal? He didn't. He said, get up, take up your mat, get up. Eyes open. He commanded the things that wasn't to happen, okay? There's a difference. And I think I realized I was praying wrongly. I was begging God. I was, you know, and actually it wasn't, that was the wrong way to pray. I was not actually taking authority. I was, yeah, so I learned a lot. And so it's a five-step. And I was trying to give it a good word, because you know when you've got a five-step thing, and how do I remember it? So I've adjusted a bit, and I'm going to call it adapt. It's the only way I should have got a slide, actually. Adapt, A-D-A-P-T. Okay. So this, I want you to write this down. Guys, if you've got a phone, write it down on your phone. Don't look on your Facebook or your any messages while you're doing that. But I want you to write this down, because this is a really, this is like, oh yeah, unless you do it this way, it ain't going to happen. We don't want to make this as a law and a religion, you know what I mean? But this is a real good way of praying for people that actually, when you start off, it's very helpful, and it helped me a lot. And so the first thing you do is you A for ask. Now, what Andy would say is you interview the person. So the first thing you would do is, what's your name? Okay, let's get a bit more, yeah? What's your name? My name's this. What's your name? And then start asking them questions and listen to the Holy Spirit. Maybe the Holy Spirit will ask you to ask different stuff. So ask them, like, how long they had it, when it was there, does anyone else in their family? Just be led by the Spirit. But find out information about what it is, what the condition is, what's wrong. And also, this is a key thing, ask them how much the pain level is. So you say to them, at this moment in time, say you've got a pain in your back, okay? At this moment in time, how much is your pain level? 10 being really bad, 0 being not bad at all. Well, completely healed if you're 0, right? And then you ask them, because it's a way of measuring that something's happening. So often people say 8, 5. So I prayed for a guy yesterday who we stayed with. He had a pain with his shoulder. It was a 5. And we have just done some emotional healing. So we dealt with some of the stuff in his life already, which is probably part of what needed to happen in order for his shoulder to be healed. So he said it was a 5. And so that's first you ask, you find out. Then number 2 is you do D, which is diagnose. Okay? You decide how you're going to pray. So if they're saying, this happened when my husband left me, there's probably a forgiveness thing. There might be other, you know what I mean? You need to work out where you take the prayer. This happened when I had a car accident. So this guy in Brazil, when his grandma died. So I had to pray for trauma. So you decide, diagnose which way to pray. Don't go straight just for the healing. But if there's nothing else the Holy Spirit has shown you, then pray for the healing. But let's just work through some of the stuff. So we diagnose, work out what we're going to do. Is it they need to forgive? Is it a generational thing? Is it trauma that we need to pray off? So we work out how we're going to pray. Number 3, A, is act on it. So we're going to pray now. Now, when we pray, the Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. So there isn't something about imparting and laying hands. Just to say, you always ask permission. And if it's somewhere that's not appropriate, you don't put your hands there. So if it's a man's praying for a woman, it's something, like I say, a stomach. So the woman get the person to put their hand there, and then just a man, just put your finger there. You know what I mean? But always ask permission, or just put your hand on their shoulder. Yeah? So just ask them if it comes to. Don't just come into their personal space. Be sensitive. This is, you know, be sensitive to the person. So you lay hands on them. Now, when you pray, it's short prayers. Don't waffle on it's not your many words that's going to heal that person. Okay? It's your authority. Know you have authority. You have amazing authority in Jesus' name, and he's made that possible for you. So pray in authority. So it's almost like what you got to do is, so this guy, he couldn't lift his shoulder any, this is yesterday, shoulder anything above that. He had a trapped nerve. So I just pray for the nerve to be untrapped. I command, he didn't have a tingling on his hand. I said, command all tingling to go. So you're speaking to the body and telling it to do what it should be doing. Okay? So can I give you a story, a recent story? I was in South Africa a couple of weeks ago, about a month ago, and we were praying in a hospital. And so I went into this ward. You have to ask permission to for the patients. Can I pray for you? So I walk into this ward. This lady with blue, really bright blue hat on. And I said, hi, I'm from the UK. I used the British card. I'm from England, you know. That she didn't look very impressed. And I'm like going, okay, that didn't go down very well. And then the girls on the other side tell me she can't hear. So she's deaf in this ear. So I then came to the good ear and said, hi, I'm from England. Talking very loud so she can hear me. I'm from England and we've come to pray for people. Can I pray for your ear? And she went, yeah. So I asked her to cover her good ear. So then I don't want to do a fake healing, right? I want it to be real. And so then she says, cover your good ear and I'm going to pray for your bad ear. So this hasn't happened to me before. So I'm praying for her and the Lord shows me her inside of her ear. So I start, I'm not medical in any way or form, okay? But I see her in her ear and I start praying that I'm blocking. And I can't remember exactly how I prayed, but I just start praying and speaking to the ear that it open up and be cleared in Jesus' name. So I'm praying very quietly because I'm praying this. And then I just say, amen. And then she says, amen. And it took me a few seconds and I realized she heard me. And I looked at her, I said, can you hear? And she went, yeah. And the other two ladies on the other side were flabbergasted because they saw it all happening. They ended up giving their life to the Lord because they saw this miracle. They ended up getting healed as well. And God just touched them powerfully. So it's talking to the condition, okay? Arms straight and leg. I've seen hundreds of legs grow now to the point that literally inches of legs just growing. Because often when you've got a back pain, your legs sometimes are out of alignment, so you can speak to the hip to be back in alignment. You command the leg to grow, and when you check it, it's all, the pain's gone. It's all gone back into. So I've seen loads of people. So when you pray, keep your eyes open, just in case they fall or something, or you want to be able to see what's happening. Yeah, and also if it's any demonic manifestation, when the demonic manifests, you want to see what's happening. So keep your eyes open. So short lay hands, short prayers, eyes open, and prayers of authority. Don't go off tangent, okay? Quick, okay? We're going to practice this, guys. So I've done this teaching, and I've got people to go and pray, and they've gone on for ages, and they're not doing the five steps. They're just doing their own thing, and then we're not seeing the results because they're just not, okay? So just for today, just let's go with the process, okay? And then, this is something I never did because I never had faith and I was too scared to look a fool. Then you ask them what's happening. So the word letter is P. I put it as process. I'm desperate. If you can think of a better word, what's the process now? What's going on? So I would say like, okay, can you check your pain? Because often when people actually check, do something you can't do, as they're checking, it completely goes. So, because they're doing that, it takes faith to check, right? When you've been in chronic pain. And when they've done that, so ask them to check it and say, like, the pain was 5. How much is your pain now? So, this guy yesterday, I got him to check it. And he was, like I said, he started off there. He was able to lift it up to there. Okay. So, there's progress. He said that it's not hurting anymore, but it's still stiff. So, that's good. Something's happening, right? So you then thank the Lord. So you find out what's going on, and then you pray again. When Jesus prayed for the blind guy, he prayed more than once. If Jesus had prayed more than once, guess what, guys? So can we? I've heard Randy Clark pray for someone nearly 38 times. Okay, let's pray we don't have to do that. So, you know, but just keep praying. Even if it's 80%, it's better than what it was, okay? But just don't give up until the person's had enough or you've had enough, and then stop. And then what you want to do is number five is either thank God for what he's doing, and if they're still not fully healed, pray again. Okay? Don't just give up. Pray again. Just thank God what he's doing and say, and command that pain, all pain, Lord. We just command that three now to go down to a two. So I was praying for him, all stiffness to go. And then by the end, he was able to lift his arm up there. So you just start praying again. If the sickness, if the pain moves around, let's give you some tips, that's often a sign of a demonic spirit, okay? So then you have to say, I command that spirit to leave, spirit of infirmity, get up. If you're praying for someone and nothing's happening, no change, then pray for the spirit of infirmity to leave them, okay? Or ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what's going on? What's blocking it? Okay, there's a book by a guy called Craig Miller, and it's all about what happens when healing doesn't happen, okay? And it's got some good tools of some of the blockages, some of the trauma, certain illnesses. He just gives you some good advice how to pray. Because he a lot of healing is emotionally, a lot of sickness is connected emotionally. So if you can deal with emotional wounds and pain, you often will then see the healing, okay? Not all the time. There's a mystery there, guys. But where we can, we go, you know. And this guy's been spending years, because he said he'd go to healing meetings, they see loads of amazing healing. But the thing they remember the most are people that weren't healed. So he pursued, okay, what is it, Lord? And he's realized there's more to it. Okay. In Acts 1:8, it says, we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. So I'm just going to pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. If you want it, just put your hands out. I'd love to lay hands on all of you, but I just want you to receive, because God can just come. It says that we will receive power. Power. And some of you are going to start feeling tingling and even just some kind of like heat on your hand. It's just the Holy Spirit. Just come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just welcome your presence here. Thank you, Lord. You say they will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. I thank you, Jesus. You said they will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them and they will be my witnesses. So Holy Spirit, come. Come upon them in a fresh way right now. Come upon them right now. Every barrier in their mind, any barriers, anything that they've said that's caused them to think that they're disqualified, or to break those lies right now in the name of Jesus. Come, Lord. May they step into that anointing right now. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Just increase what you're doing. Increase what you're doing. Just, I see the Lord just mindsets, that God is renewing minds here. And sometimes it's that head that blocks. So we just ask right now, renew our minds, Holy Spirit. Renew our minds. Take captive those thoughts, those lies. And make them obedient to Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, pour out your spirit right now. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come and have your way, Lord. Come and have your way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If you are here and you would like prayer for healing, I just want to share a couple of words of knowledge. So sometimes God tells me stuff before. So these are the couple of stuff he's told me. So I believe someone here has got neck pain. If you've got a neck pain, we would love to pray for you. Stand up now as well if there's someone with lower back pain. I feel God's going to heal someone with some lower back. If that's you, can you please stand up? That will be really helpful. And that's you taking a step of faith. I heard the word tailbone. Someone's got pain in their tailbone. So God wants to heal that today. God only says this because he's going to do it, okay? So let your faith rise up. Hip, I feel there's some, God's going to want to heal some hips. Right shoulder and the neck here, bottom of the neck. I don't know if you, did you have any? Also, I just, during the worship, I felt the Lord said deep depression, that God really wants to release deep depression. So if any of these words relate to you, can you stand up in faith? Thank you, Jesus.